Good day and welcome back to Ripples, a podcast from the Wellness Home, a podcast about personal wellness and growth in the context of academic medicine and from Joe Orr and Teresa Lozano, Long School of Medicine. Because what we do for ourselves not only helps enrich our lives, but it creates powerful ripples into the lives of others. I'm your host, Dr. Veena Prasad, and I'm so delighted to have Dr. John Curran as our co-host. We are members of your GME wellness team.
Thank you, Veena. As we've mentioned before, the Dalai Lama said it beautifully. Just as ripples spread out when a single pebble is dropped into the water, the actions of individuals can have far-reaching effects. Today, we are excited to interview Dr. AJ Carpenter. She's going to share her experience as a cardiothoracic surgeon at a time when there were few women in surgery.
It is so good to have you with us. We would love for you to tell us your journey as a CT surgeon and what led you to become a surgeon in a field so few women ventured to be there. As of 2019, only about 4% of CT surgeons are women.
Thank you, Dr. Prasad. I guess really this has got to go way back from when I started being a cardiothoracic surgeon, because when I was a kid growing up in the mountains of North Carolina, I was most commonly told that I couldn't do X, Y, or Z, whatever X, Y, or Z was, because I was a girl. And the style of the time was that if you were really pretty and popular, you could grow up and get married and be a mother, or you could be a nurse, or you could be a teacher. So I really had no idea what I wanted to do. I had no concept of what the other choices were. So I went to college, studied music. I was very bad at it. And so they invited me to leave the music department. And I briefly chose political science as a major. Mm-hmm. I had had a mentor in my younger years through Pony Club who had been a lawyer and had enjoyed that in high school, but pretty quickly decided that that was just mind-numbingly boring and that wasn't what I was going to do. So I ultimately got my bachelor's degree in physical education because it was something I was good at, and I had more invested in the college degree than I had left to go, but still had no idea what to do. So I went off skiing. I was a ski bum for a couple of years and thought things over, realized that that was not going to be a lifetime activity. So I went back to graduate school, got a master's in physical education, doing research in exercise physiology, and then went on to get a PhD in physiology from Penn State. Then I did a postdoc, got married, and moved to the Washington, D.C. area, and had an appointment at Hopkins as a research associate for a year. And when I was there, I met people who, you know, clearly were very bright and creative, and I really wasn't. Give me a problem, I'd solve it, but to figure out what good problem needed to be answered, I didn't have that. And for reasons I'll never know, our department chair encouraged me to go to medical school, so I did. And it was in my third year of medical school, truly an epiphany kind of moment, that I discovered I was really supposed to be a heart surgeon.
That was really fascinating, AJ, and I think all of us wish at some point or another we could be ski bums in our younger years. But my question for you is, how was residency and fellowship? You know, you not only had many years of training as a surgeon and future cardiothoracic surgeon, but you had to put in really long hours during those training years. Do you think that being a woman made the experience different for you?
Looking back on it, I'd have to say that I was somewhat lucky. I did both my general surgery training and my cardiothoracic training in what I would call sort of kinder, gentler residency programs, especially the way surgical programs were in the 1990s. But I loved the challenge. I was hugely satisfied with the volume and the pace of learning. I loved seeing folks get better for what we did for them. And I learned to focus on those things when times were hard. Largely, I just never really knew better than to press on. And if somebody told me that it was something I couldn't do, I just moved on anyway. So I got through residency really focusing on what I could learn and what I was doing. I learned to cope when a patient did poorly and suffered or died, and I'd I'd have my cry in the closet and focus on the successes till I finally started doing heart surgery all the time, and that just really gave me joy. Then it didn't matter anymore how long the hours were. I didn't even notice the hours passing. But the question you're really asking me is something people ask me a lot and that I really can't answer. What you're asking is, how is it different to be a woman training in cardiothoracic surgery instead of a man? I've never been a man, so how can I possibly answer that question? You just have to kind of focus on what it is that you're doing. And I was very fortunate to have had a mentor in my early days, Mimi Cecil, who really told me just, you know, move on. Don't get a chip on your shoulder. Don't let anybody tell you can't do something because of who you are. And that really helped me along. Effective mentoring relationships can't be assigned. They're not chosen, they evolve. And the relationship kind of develops out of a need and a desire and encouragement. So I discovered that I'm a woman in a surgeon's body, and I'm so extraordinarily lucky to have discovered that.
You know, it reminds me of something we say. We meet clients where they are. When you talk about mentorship, effective mentorship evolves as needed. I have another question for you. As a PD, you've always supported diversity, and in your own words, you have said, physicians who don't look like the most. It's a powerful statement in itself of inclusion and providing opportunities. Can you expand on that?
I think it's really unfortunate that many people see the development of diversity as compromise. You know, in the days when there was an effort to expand minority groups attending college or in certain professions, many people sort of had the attitude that we were giving up quality in exchange for having variety. And that's really not the way it is. It's really unfortunate that so many people think of diversity as compromise. One person gets a job or an opportunity just because they're a woman, or they're black or brown or red, or differently abled. That sort of thinking is useless and leads to resentment. That's why we have so much division in America today. We each need to understand that we're all human, we all bleed red, and we need to learn to be blind to these unimportant differences. Then we can look for people with talent, drive, and interest to be what it is that we need at any given moment. If we can accept that you don't have to look like me, then we will find people in the right places, look around, and discover that it takes some of all kinds to make the best of our brain trust as a society.
Thank you, AJ. I completely agree with that, and I'm really very heartened by the fact that medicine has really taken a lead in this area across the country. So what are some of the things that you would advise or suggest for young surgeons who are in your shoes now?
Being a surgeon is really a very special life. It's a profession of incredible highs and incredible lows, and it will take as much of you as you are willing to give. You need to revel in success in order to cope with failure, and there will be failures. Today's generation is much better at seeking balance in life than I have ever been, until I started taking lessons from my residents, who are really very good at it. To be happy as a surgeon, you need to accept that it's not shift work. You can't abandon a patient because it's dinner time or bedtime. On the other hand, you must also find a way to carve out a life outside the hospital and the clinic, to have time with your friends, family, to find activities that give you pleasure. You need to have things to do that are not your life's work. As I'm approaching the next adventure of my life, I'll eventually retire, I have come to realize and really appreciate that. I can't just go from what I do today to what am I going to do today. But if you can accept the life, the work, the wins, and the losses, there's nothing better to do with your work life.
That was so powerful, AJ. That is, accepting life, the work, wins, and losses. There's nothing better to do with your work life. It is really powerful. Many residents have told us that you really take care of them in their path to become surgeons. Please tell us, how do you do that?
I don't really do anything special. I try to be respectful of all the residents and colleagues I work with, regardless of their gender or any other individual characteristics. I demand that the best that each resident can be, and not all of them have found that to be particularly pleasing. Some think that it's a little bit too much stress. I'm not always as patient or as tolerant as I would like to be. I just try to be a good example, help them find and develop their talent to the best of their ability. Some of them seem to really appreciate that and have become lifelong friends. Some, not so much.
You know, Ajaya, I was really interested to hear you talking about the fact that you can love and get deeply engaged in your work and yet still find time outside of what you do in medicine for yourself. And so I guess as we ask all of the guests on our podcast, what do you do to take care of yourself outside of medicine?
You know, I've always been a moderately good athlete, hence I eventually got a physical education degree, and I run. I finally realized some years out of my training that it was necessary for me to carve out time. So for years now, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. is my time to run. Fortunately, there are a lot of people like me, so I have quite a community of running friends that I do this with. About a decade ago, I also took up tennis, which gives me another community. The community is really important. You have family you were born to, and you have family you choose and who choose you. And I have chosen a family of people that can be lifelong friends, even when I leave this profession.
And I have to know, in college, what sports were you involved in?
I tried playing field hockey for a while, but I discovered when the opponents had sticks, that was not a great sport for me. I played soccer. I played volleyball. I finally learned how to swim. But I was on the ski team was the big thing. I took that up in college.
Wow.
And I started running in the fall as part of the training program for the ski team and was really discovered, I just love it. It gives me joy. Sometimes I come into work in the morning and the OR tech I often work with will say, oh, Dr. Carpenter, did you have a nice run today? And if the answer is, well, I didn't get time to run, I get a different tech. She just knows I won't be good.
Interesting. We wrote an article some years ago about exercise and mental health, and I was fascinated to realize that among all of the possible exercises that physicians do, running is by far and away the number one.
Well, it's so easy. You know, all you got to do is have a pair of shoes and a little time. You can do it anywhere, right?
Yeah,
left,
absolutely.
Repeat.
I agree with you.
That's right. That is being with yourself. It's a meditation by itself.
Yes.
Thank you so much, AJ. This is such a delight to have you on our podcast. So would you be willing to share with us a pebble that we can drop into the water of wellness to create a ripple of wellness?
You know, in my life, I've been special and unimportant, but I've really learned that being happy is way more important than being special.
That was such a powerful statement. Being happy is more important than being special. So we all need to find our ways of being happy. Thanks for listening and accompanying us today. Remember, just as ripples spread out when a single pebble is dropped into water, the actions of individuals can have far-reaching effects.
Thank you so much as well. And please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and check back at the beginning of every month for our newest episodes.
Thank you so much, Dr. Carpenter. Thanks for joining us. Thank you all for listening. Go create some ripples.